Tien, the embattled U.S. Marine outpost just below South Vietnam's demilitarized zone, has had a relative breather for 3 days now. There still is the incoming whine of enemy shells. 7 Marines have been killed, 22 wounded in the 72-hour period. But that shelling has been nothing to compare with the previous 30 days when Con Tien took the brunt of the most intense artillery, rocket, and mortar barrage mounted by the communists in this war. On Monday, the last of those particular 30 days, CBS News correspondent John Lawrence and cameraman Keith Kay visited the weary Marines at Con Tien.
It was a relatively quiet day at Con Tien. The North Vietnamese sounded reveille at 7:30. 200 shells in 10 minutes. But the men were telling visitors, you should have been here last week. There are no tents on Con Tien. The Marines dig holes, build bunkers, and spend most of their time underground. The constant problem of cleanliness, the periodic shortages of food and water.
If we were to stay here too much longer, we wouldn't have much left of this platoon, let alone the company. I see, about 3-4 people get it a day. Not real bad, but enough to be medevaced. Cut my platoon down.
Well, isn't that all part of war, as the generals say?
Sure it is, but for 7 months up here, one battalion ain't gonna have much left if that's part of war.
That'll... Offered to talk anytime, anywhere. But until there is a response that might lead to a just political settlement, we must and we will fight to prevent others from imposing their military solution on the people of South Vietnam and Southeast Asia. Until the day comes when we lay down our arms and we deal in good faith with North Vietnam across a conference table, brave young men like David Dalby will have to fight in order to assure others their freedom. They are the finest of America's manhood.
American battle casualties decreased last week.
It's been a long time since the Buddhists have taken to the streets of Saigon. But they're here now in front of the National Palace, and they've brought with them a plea and an implied threat. The Buddhists who have marched from An Quang Pagoda to the National Palace are the militant Buddhists. Buddhist leaders have said this must be a silent march. There are no slogan chanting. If the police stop you, the leaders have said, you must just sit down and wait for instructions. Besides their yellow capes, donned for ceremonies, they have little bags with lemons. The lemons to be used in case police should tear gas them. Rubbed on the eyes, the lemon takes some of the sting out of the gas. They consider General Chu their enemy, and their banners show it. They have brought him a petition asking him to rescind the decree which took legal control of a unified Buddhist church from them and gave it to a more moderate wing. We have been patient so far, the petition says, because of the country's painful situation. But it fails to add that it also has had to be patient because it is divided and has been weakened by last year's bloody repression by the government of Buddhist riots. Our endurance, the petition continues, does not mean we accept your attitude, your policy, and your action. General Chu first invited a delegation of 4 men to come in and talk it over with him. When they refused and sat down to wait for his answer, he came out himself. Your demands, he says, are too important to be able to give you an immediate answer. But he suggests, get together with the moderates and then let both factions come here and we will reason together. For the moment, the problem remains unresolved. The militant Buddhists don't seem satisfied. But it remains to be seen whether they will try to do anything about it. Now the march is beginning. Where and how it will end, in a country like this, no one can be sure. Bert Quint, CBS News, Saigon.
Tonight, several hours after that confrontation, Tri Quang had a 2-hour meeting with government officials, but apparently got nowhere on his demands that the government recognize the militants as the sole legal Buddhist sect. The Congo's 3-month-old rebellion, led by white mercenaries, soon may be over.
To preserve and to enrich human life in our own country and abroad, grieve that young Americans must go out to the frontier of freedom and fight taking the lives of others while risking their own. I am often asked, why do you say so little in reply to the critics of the war? The answer is simple. No one hates war and killing more than I do. No sane American can greet the news from Vietnam with enthusiasm.
The occasion for the president's remarks was a presentation in Washington of the Medal of Honor to Army Sergeant David Dolby, 21, of Oaks, Pennsylvania. He personally wiped out three enemy machine gun nests in Vietnam, saving the lives of several buddies.
Vice President Humphrey, in regard to Vietnam, has said, "We must persevere in the defense of both our allies and our principles." Who are our allies if they aren't all the people of South Vietnam, be they friend or foe? What are our principles if they aren't liberty and justice for all the South Vietnamese, be they friend or foe? And how can we persevere in the defense of both our allies and our principles if the Viet Cong, who are South Vietnamese, are barred from free elections? According to the polls, Americans do want to persevere in the defense of both their allies and their principles. Ironically, the essence of the alternative to present policy in Vietnam would carry out, not back out, of our commitment. The essence of the alternative to present policy would carry out, not back out, of free elections for all. First, Senator Charles Percy, Republican of Illinois, followed by Senator Robert Kennedy, Democrat of New York.
Очень конструктивное и полезное решение. Мы его поддерживаем.
The Foreign Minister of the Democratic Republic of Vietnam proposed that the United States should immediately and unconditionally end the bombing of the territory of the Democratic Republic of Vietnam, and then the two sides could come to the conference table and discuss all the questions at issue. In short, they could then start to seek a political solution for the Vietnam problem. We are all in favor of that proposal. We believe that it is highly constructive, and we think that the United States should certainly take advantage of it. It is, I repeat, a very good and constructive proposal that will enable the United States to find a way out of the present impasse.